Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the Philippians reading, Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word, fill us with your spirit, so that we may live with faith in Christ Jesus, so that we may together know what is good. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's get straight into today's reading. Here's how it starts. St. Paul writes, I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. First of all, in this whole reading, St. Paul is not telling the Philippian Christians to do anything. He's first of all assuring them that they're in his prayers. And not just that they are in his prayers, but that he thanks God for them and that they are a cause of joy for him. That's good for us to pause and reflect on this, because often when we read or listen to the Bible, we have in the front of our minds what we have to do or what we have to stop doing. But most of the Bible is not about what we have to do. Most of it is about what God's kingdom is actually like, about who God is, and about what God has done for us, and about the kind of kingdom that God is creating, that God is calling us into. Now, in this letter to the Philippians, Paul starts off by assuring the Philippian Christians of the real bonds of love that he has for them in God's kingdom. So Paul thanks God for them, that they are a source of joy for him, and also that they are sharers in the gospel with him. There's something to note, the sharing and the fellowship in the gospel that they have. Any human community is going to be held together by some shared reality, maybe a common language or ethnicity, maybe a common education, level of income or gender identity, and all these things are of course important human realities. But for St. Paul, for the church, the real basis for thanksgiving, for joy and for love is the sharing that we have in the gospel, in the good news that in Christ Jesus we have the forgiveness of sins, we together have the hope of the resurrection, and together we have a shape of life given to us by the Holy Spirit, who frees us to look out for each other's interests. It is evident from the letter to the Philippians that this looking out for each other's interests included for them the financial help that the Philippians gave to St. Paul. Read about this in chapter 4. It includes also the prayers to God that they made for each other. You read about this in chapter 1. It also includes the companionship and encouragement that came from the Philippians sending one of their own members, Epaphroditus, to help St. Paul in his need. Spiritual, financial, personal help, a sharing in the gospel. This is how it is also for us in Bethlehem, because we together have a sharing in the gospel that's fundamentally different from and more important than the things we may or may not share, like ethnicity or class or gender. We have a common humanity and are together redeemed by the human being Jesus Christ, who leads us in confessing our sins, who gives his word of forgiveness to us, and who gives us each other so that we may grow in love, so that we may pray for one another, so that we may support the promotion of the gospel, including financially supporting the ministry, and so that we may encourage each other in doing what is pleasing to God. Now, St. Paul continues his letter to the Philippians with a heartfelt declaration of confidence in what God is doing among them. Listen to what he writes. I'm confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. There's an Advent theme, by the way, the day of Jesus Christ, the day when Christ will come as judge of the living and the dead. But the main point that St. Paul is making here is that God shows that he is God by bringing to completion what he starts. We human beings often have plans, but when we meet obstacles, our own laziness or financial difficulties or health problems, we give up. Just think of New Year's resolutions, for example. But God, St. Paul is saying, is not like this. He shows his character, his authority, and his power by finishing what he starts. This assurance from God's word is most precious to us, because when we look at the community of faith, when we look at the reality of the church throughout the world, in our own country, in the LCA, at Bethlehem, or when we look at our own lives, our own spiritual laziness, or the ease with which we're distracted from the things that really matter, we know really matter, or when we look at our own weaknesses and sin, then we can feel like giving up. We can feel like going with the flow of the world, or our sinful desires, or the worldview, the attitude of the evil one. But when God speaks his word to us and reminds us that he finishes what he starts, then we can have real confidence. We can have confidence that the life of faith can be lived in the midst of conflict, of weakness, and of sin. Remember, by the way, that St. Paul is writing this letter from captivity. Maybe even he's literally in chains. But he knows that God is in charge, and that being in chains does not hinder the proclamation of the gospel or the power of the gospel to bring people to faith and to bring them into the community of the faithful, the church, where they mature in love. This communal aspect of the life of faith is underlined by what St. Paul goes on to say. Listen, it is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel. St. Paul's proclamation of the gospel has got him into trouble and landed him in captivity. But the Philippian Christians have not disowned him. They have not been ashamed of him in his imprisonment. Rather, they have supported him with their prayers, with their money, by sending Epaphroditus. So Paul is not afraid that the gospel will be hindered. He's not afraid the gospel will be hindered because of his imprisonment. He knows that God is in charge, and he knows that God's word will be fruitful. But St. Paul does feel the pain of being separated from those he loves. This is what he writes. For God's my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. God's word will do its work. It will be fruitful. But there is the pain of separation, a pain that St. Paul feels in his gut. The love that he has for these people and the longing that he has for them is real. That's only after St. Paul assures the Philippians of his love for them and his confidence that God is indeed at work among them that he shares with the Philippians the content of his prayer. Remember, he said he's been praying for them. Now he shares with them the content of his prayer. This is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that on the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. Now, St. Paul knows that the Philippians have genuine love. Love for God, love for each other, and genuine love for St. Paul. But St. Paul here is praying that God would give them a mature love. The sort of love that includes the freedom to determine the best course of action for themselves as individuals and the best course of action in their life together as a community. That they would have wisdom and insight not to have to be told what the best thing to do is, but to know from a mature love what the best thing to do is in their lives as individuals and in their life together as a community. Now we know from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians and his other letters that this mature love included the ability to understand not just one's own point of view, but the point of view of others, and included looking out for the interests of others and understanding that one's own freedom is used widely, wisely, in the service of other people, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you want to get an idea of what I'm talking about, then have a look at how St. Paul deals with the issue of food sacrificed to idols and things like that in 1 Corinthians 8 and Romans 14. But it seems to me in our own context here in Adelaide today, we need this sort of mature love when it comes to navigating our way through the restrictions placed on us in this time of COVID. There's no way that COVID will hinder the proclamation of the gospel. Just as being in captivity did not stop the promotion of the gospel for Paul, so the COVID restrictions will not stop God's word doing its work among us. God is in charge, and his word will be fruitful. But how we live as individuals and as a community under the restrictions we face, and how we show love for each other, we learn this as we first consider the humility of our Lord and as we share in his mindset, his attitude. Jesus did not think of what was best for himself, but he became a servant to others. And we are free to do this as well as we put our own opinions and desires on hold, as we listen to each other, and as we consider each other's needs in our life together, including in this time of COVID. Taking this path can be difficult. For Jesus, this path was literally the path to the cross. But in the kingdom of God, the path to the cross is also the path to glory. Jesus, through his suffering and death, was highly exalted, so that at his name, every knee should bend and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Notice, by the way, that in the prayer that St. Paul prayed, he prayed that they would, in their mature love, be able to determine what's best. But he didn't spell out exactly what it meant. Mature love works when people do the hard work of putting their own interests on hold, looking out for each other, talking together, being servants to one another. That's when we see mature love working itself out in a community, and where God gives solutions that goes beyond human comprehension. Well, as God's people in this difficult time, may we together share in the mindset of Jesus Christ, our servant King. May we follow in the path of the cross that he leads us on, knowing that it is also the path of glory. May we have real, heartfelt love for one another that comes from the gospel. We love because God has first loved us. We can have a servant attitude because Christ shares this attitude with us. We can take the path of the cross, knowing that it is the path to life and glory in God's kingdom. Well, may God complete what he has started among us, and we know that he will, in Jesus' name. Amen.